Why a children's book? You mentioned before this was a passion of yours. You write a children's book?
Yes. So I do want to empower the younger generation, but who's reading it to them?
The parents.
Yeah. Older people.
So you're hitting both.
Hitting both demographics at the same
demographics.
Time.
Demographics.
And how many adults, regular, average, read books a year?
Robin didn't raise his hand.
Oh, I've read a full book this year, okay? I read this book.
There we go.
Hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. My name is Michael Wong, and today we have a return guest, Hilly Ego. Welcome back. Welcome back to a great episode. So guess what? This time around, she's going to have some surprises for us. I'm pretty sure she's been up to no good, right, Hillary?
Well, thank you for having me back. And no good. I don't know how I would define that, but.
But and don't forget, obviously, Robert always with me.
How's it going, everyone? Yeah, Hillary. It's been a little while since you've been back on. We're excited to get see what's going on.
September?
Yeah, you were episode 11. I went back and
11.
Checked.
Yeah,
episode 11. We're on like 30 something now. So like
32. I believe this is gonna be 32.
Yeah. So yeah. It's been a while.
It's been almost 7 months now. 8 months, almost going to it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost a year, Robert. Your anniversary is coming up soon.
Coming up soon, yeah. Before we start, Hillary, what are you drinking?
I have some tea in my reusable cup.
Oh, nice.
I got some tea as well. I got some matcha tea this time around.
Oh, wow. See, I'm drinking coffee.
Wait, coffee. What time is it there?
It is 7 o'clock. But yeah.
Are you going to be working all night?
Maybe not all night, but I'll probably working a lot tonight.
It's one of those weekends. It is
because Mike makes me work all night long for this podcast. That's what he does. So everyone can blame Mike.
It's fine. I'll take the blame for that. You know, we just want good quality for the listeners. Okay, all right.
Dang it! Come on, man.
All right, Hillary. So
when this comes out, it's gonna be Chinese New Year. So happy Chinese New Year to everyone here.
Yes.
And everyone out there.
Yeah.
And it's your year, guys.
You're the ox. That's right.
Isn't it an unlucky year when it's your year?
I'm not sure about that.
You're supposed to wear red to.
I wore red today.
The evil spirits. If you don't want people to know your age by wearing red out, then you wear red underwear. So
really? Is that how it works? I don't care about how old people think I am, to be honest with you. I still get ID right now. So.
You still get ID?
I still get ID still. So.
Wow. I think.
Especially more with a mask on, they actually ID me more.
Oh, I don't go anywhere where they ask for ID anymore. Like, I'm always inside. I don't see anyone. So I don't know when they would ask me for ID. But yeah, so happy Chinese New Year's and happy Valentine's Day. Also the same weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So, Hillary, tell us a little bit more about yourself for those who have not met, you know, seen your first episode or just first time listening to you. So just a little bit of background and let us know what you've been up to.
Great. Well, thank you again for having me on. A lot has happened in the last, 7 months we said that I was on in September. The first noticeable one was I chopped off all my hair and donated it.
Yeah, I see that.
Nice.
Wow. And then the next one I'll go over, I'm going to talk about a children's book that I just published, and I'm really excited to share the process that I went through and the inspiration behind that. So to start, I'm going to just go over a little bit more of my background and how I ended up choosing the topic and theme for the book that I wrote. So I am a sustainability nerd. I love the earth so much, and I love
She's
it
not all. Lying, by the way, everybody. She's not
She's
lying.
Not lying at all.
Yeah.
And I will do, you know, anything I can to help protect it and make sure that we have enough resources for us now, but also for future generations to come. Which is
any generations to come, hopefully.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, basically the definition of sustainability. Mm-hmm. But also started when I was a young girl. I saw my mom accidentally throw, or you know, my aunt wanted to recycle something. My mom said, "I don't have time, just throw it in the trash." And I was like, "No, I'm going to recycle it." So,
I but did, your mom tell you that she didn't have time to do it,
which is where a lot of things come from. Convenience is really hurting.
That's true. That is true, though. Yeah.
So I ended up, you know, later on realizing this story is where it all started. That was the spark that I had. But it wasn't until I was in high school and I watched An Inconvenient Truth in my civics class. And ooh. I really realized the impacts of global warming on our planet. And I felt like really empowered to be able to do something about it myself. So my best friend and I, we started an environment club where we founded our recycling program and did a variety of other projects throughout the community. And then I found out that I could study this in college and make this a career. So I went on to study environmental studies at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, where I was also a swimmer. So I swam for UNLV all 4 years. I was a sprint freestyler. And during that
free
time-
Free school over there, free school, you know, the scholarship, you know?
Well, I was actually walk-on, so you have to-
Oh, wait, they had to walk on?
So you're still recruited, okay. But you are recruited to swim on the team, but without a scholarship, but you can earn it. Got so it. Over time, as you improve, then you earn your scholarship, which I was fortunate enough to be able to do so.
Nice.
So, you know, during my time at UNLV, I was involved with different clubs and organizations throughout our campus. And I also realized that I needed to get a niche, you know, something that I was specialized in the environmental field. So I was lucky enough to find the Water Resources Management program at UNLV, where I got a master's in water resources management, really focused on climate change and water conservation. And then-
Why did you need a niche?
Why water? Yeah. Why water?
Why water? And why do you need a niche and why water? Yeah.
Great question. So for the environmental field, typically on a sustainability team, let's say a corporation has a large sustainability team, they have someone that specializes in energy, someone that specializes in waste, someone that specializes in supply chain procurement. You know, maybe they have someone that specializes in water. You know, the list goes on. So I felt this connection with water, definitely. Maybe it was my swimmerness in me, but also being-
That could be it too, yeah.
Also being in the Southwest and really learning, I took a couple classes where the importance of water systems and water conservation, especially in dry, arid regions throughout the
That's United, true.
Really important. So it was just something that really I felt drawn to and was excited to explore and be able to create.
And we need water to survive too, to be honest.
So. Yeah, and especially water in California, like, where like there's like no water, like it's a drought all the time, right?
There's no rain, yeah, no for rain. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I finished grad school and I ended up leaving Nevada for the Bay Area, where I got my first job working for a local community college district implementing a variety of sustainability programs. Whether that was their water conservation programs or starting their composting program and increasing recycling efforts, a number of programs. And then from there, I actually ended up wanting to hone my skills in communications and outreach. And so I ended up working for the Waste Hauler in San Francisco, where I did a lot of cool presentations and on-site consultations with different businesses to really learn how to communicate with others. And then
she came to my company and did a presentation for all of my coworkers and stuff. It was great.
Let me ask you this, Hillary. What was one of the challenges you went through when you did those kind of presentation communication? Like how did you know people were actually listening to you? I'm just curious. Like,
you know, it's interesting that you would think, oh, it's a really boring topic, but it's actually something that a lot of people were really engaged in. And I always found myself not having to fight for their attention.
That's
they
good.
Were all
That's
really engaged and really wanted to learn more. I think people, they know that recycling and composting is important, but they don't know why. And so I was able to really connect those two things and empower them to be able to succeed. And that was something I really enjoyed doing.
So like, let me ask you this. I mean, this may get a little off topic. Like, so what if someone asks you, like, obviously they probably had a lot of questions. Like, for example, they probably poked out, hey, you know, how do you even recycle plastic? Because it costs you guys more right now to recycle plastic, things like that. Like, is it still useful, right? Because at the end of the day, people will question that. And you know how the social media, the stuff out there, the kind of counters some things. Like, how do you guys prep for that?
There's definitely a lot of good tools out there to discuss that and, you know, research and articles. But the best way to combat plastic waste is just to not use it, refuse it.
There you go.
And so, you know, use your reusable cups instead. So the company I worked for, we had a really strong emphasis on being able to
reuse stuff,
durable items such as this instead of disposable plastic items.
Nice.
So that's always kind of the go-to. You really want to encourage people to do that.
Taking a step back, like at the community college that you're working for, like what kind of projects would you be working on in that type of environment?
I worked on a lot of things, but and there's also a team of people too, which I was very fortunate to have. So we had some of my colleagues specialized in our energy projects or our solar projects, different building construction projects that were going to be LEED certified. Energy management systems to help make sure we can identify energy efficiency opportunities in our buildings, HVAC systems and learning about those. So this was housed in the facilities department. So I did a lot of facilities work, you know, implementing our water efficiency program and our zero waste plan and authoring those two items. Also, the cool thing about working at a community college was being able to work with students. So we were able to utilize the campus as a living lab and work with students on
real life projects. They have the energy to do it probably too. They have the energy.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it was exciting to teach them too. Yeah. And they're like sponges. They're excited to learn and they want to implement real life projects on the campus. And we were able to provide that to them. Yeah. And also I managed a couple student interns and worked on projects with them. Yeah, it was nice. A lot, but I really enjoyed it and I'm grateful for the experience, which is kind of also where it gets to where I am now. I work in local government, implementing a local climate action plan with a variety of projects and programs, you know, around energy efficiency, water conservation, zero waste, electric vehicles.
So right now, are you not niche anymore? Are you just a little bit more broad?
I'm a little more broad, but I definitely have specialties in certain areas, but yeah. I definitely enjoy working on a variety of projects.
Gotcha.
And I definitely feel fortunate to have the specialties in my back pocket. So if the questions come up, I definitely
ready for that. For sure.
Yeah. You have the answers.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So are you having more fun now?
Yeah, I mean, I think every job I've had is fun. I think one is more fun than the other. And I really think it's because I really love what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm very passionate about the sustainability field. And I also feel very lucky to be a part of it as well.
Gotcha. And which makes sense. Like, I mean, obviously, we can tell by your passion. Trust me, every time I visited you, for sure.
Yeah, I will never forget when... Because for everyone that doesn't know, Robert and I were roommates. And Robert first moved in and he is like, hey, where do I put this? And it was maybe like...
because to premise this...
Compost,
right?
Okay?
To premise, right? Like, there was no trash can in the house. Like, no trash can at
That's
all.
That's true. There was no trash can at all.
So... And I'm coming from Florida where like, oh, it's either like recycle your plastic and glass. Otherwise, it goes in the trash. Right. Yep. So then I was like looking around. I was like, I don't see a trash can. What do I like? Where are we putting this stuff?
Yeah. And so then I said, oh, put that in the compost. And you just stared at me blankly. Said, what's compost?
Everything's compost. That's what I learned.
Yeah. I had no idea.
But it's okay. You learned quickly. So, you know, it was a win in the end because I was able to you on what goes where.
I don't know. I feel like everything's compost now after I've learned from you. Okay, anything that's wet, compost, done.
That's not true. Not everything.
Anything that touches food is
not anything. So I recommend you first visit your or your local city or county's websites to really figure out what can go in because every city is different.
True.
If you're in California and you will be able to compost or you know put. Yeah. In the organics in the green bin.
You would think there was you, let me ask you this though. You would think they would standardize that as like a federal thing, you know, to make it easy for everybody, right?
Yeah. So it's a
the local thing. I get it.
State law in California coming up really soon.
Really?
And yes. Ooh. And I can only hope that it will spread.
Like it's states' rights. Okay. Some states have the right to like not compost. Okay.
I get it, but I feel like it's also a budget thing, to be honest, too. I think it has to do with money as well, though. I don't think it's just suddenly just a right thing. I feel like I get it. Don't get me wrong. Like it depends. I also feel like facility wise, having the team ready, things like that may take time and money to get that ready.
Well, it's possible. Green jobs. Opportunities.
I agree. I completely agree. 100% agree. Yeah.
Make it work.
Yeah. All right. So Hillary, tell us what you've been up to.
All right. So. I also, let me back up. Okay. I moved down to San Diego from San Francisco, where Robert still is.
And, she left me.
So I've been busy. You know, I've been busy exploring San Diego or what I can of it, which is basically I just go to the beach all the time.
And, literally every day.
Which is great. I love it. And the other thing I worked on was I finally accomplished a goal of something I've wanted to do for a long time, which is author a children's book. And
nice.
So my goal for the book, and this has been something I've been telling friends.
Right here. I got it.
There we go.
That's right. That's it. It's called How I Saved the Earth.
How I Saved the Earth.
I have it here too. And my goal and mission for How I Saved the Earth is to really just educate young people and, you know, children to be able to be empowered to save the earth. So there's tips and tricks in here. I won't show everyone what's inside. But the cool thing is not only is there a tip on how to save the world, it's also the impact of that tip on how it impacts the planet in a positive effort change. So it's
let me ask you this though. Why a children's book? You mentioned before this was a passion of yours to write a children's book. Is that what you said?
Yes. So I do want to empower the younger generation, but who's reading it to them?
The parents.
Yeah. Older people.
So you're hitting both.
You're hitting both demographics at the same
demographics.
Time.
Demographics.
And how many adults, regular, average, read books a year? Okay, you're out of.
Robin didn't raise his hand.
I mean, I've read a full book this year. Okay, I read this book.
There we go.
I've read a full book this year, so you can't say anything.
So Robert read Hillary's book. Good, congrats. There you go.
Wait, exactly. See, you can cross off your goal for the year is to read a book. Okay. But you know, it's kind of also something that. Al Gore has said when I attended his climate reality trainings, you know, we're not going to save the world. Which you should also attend. You can sign up for them. They're free.
What are they called? Just wondering.
The Climate Reality Training Corps, I think. I should know this. Mm-hmm. But Al Gore Climate Reality Training. Look it up.
There you go. All right, so keep going. So you said you were in power?
So during his trainings, something he always mentioned at, because he gives this really great presentation. And
I'm at Reality Leadership Corps.
Yes. Oh, I should have known the name of that. Sorry, Al Gore.
Don't be disappointed.
But so this all started because after An Inconvenient Truth came out, which is essentially like a presentation showcasing the impacts of global climate change, he was interviewed by a journalist who said, you know, you have this great book and movie, so what are you going to do now? And he said, I'm going to teach people to give this presentation because we're not going to change the world by having people read scientific journals and reports. We're going to change the world by having these one-on-one conversations with people, with your family, with your neighbor, with your friends. That's how we're going to spread environmental awareness, and that's how we're going to save the world. And so that's something that I've always took to heart with me, and that's why I make it very known to all my family and friends, my passion for the environment, because I want to continue to spread.
Very well known for sure.
Spread environmental awareness. And this is just another outlet of me doing this, is to have this book and be able to share with, you know, families.
Okay, so before we get into the detail of the book, right, let me ask you this though. Like, obviously you wanted to write a children's book, right? And you were inspired by that movie and by the, you know, by our goal. It looks like for sure. And let me ask you this, like, how do you know which topic, like, how do you like write a story? Like, how do you know what storyline you want to write? Because it can go from anywhere, you know, like you can have a 100-page, like a 100-page or like a 20-page children book, you know, like.
Yeah. So this was not like an overnight thing. I've been working towards this effort for a long time. I think even a couple years ago, I wrote an outline of what I wanted, and I would slowly pick at it maybe every so often. Yeah. And my goal was to actually write a series of books, since I was going to write a book on water, a book on waste, a book on energy.
That would be smart. Yeah.
Right. And so that was like my first goal. And then once I sat down and realized, you know, I really want to get this done, like this year, like this is my time to get this done.
Yep.
I was like, you know, it doesn't make sense to start with 10 books. I should start with one. And then from there, I can scale out eventually.
Yep.
So I really decided to focus all my efforts in on that one book. And then it all came together where I was like, this just makes sense. And everything came a lot quicker. And I was happy I was able to get it done. So the steps I took for that, first, you just need to write your outline of, you know, the themes that you want. And then from there, you just kind of doodle out your script. It doesn't have to be perfect because you can go back to it later. And then you also need to think illustrations. And this is where somewhere I got really scared. So first I asked my younger sister to illustrate and she said no.
She said no.
She said no. Wow.
Damn, your own family.
Maybe she regrets it now. I don't know yet.
I know. You get super famous and then she's going to be like, oh, no, I could have been this artist here.
Just show her on Amazon once you have 1,000 reviews for 5-star. Just screenshot that, text her that, you know, don't worry.
Yeah.
I did this without you, by the way.
She's putting her other talents to good use. I forgive her.
So hang on. So before we move on from that, right, you mentioned about outlining the book. So I've actually been in progress to try to write something myself, but I'm still struggling on what to even write. So like outline's nice, but if assuming that you know what you want to write, like,
yeah.
So like you knew the topic obviously, but how did you figure it out? Hey, do I do a storytelling type of deal from a third person view? Do I do it from like a, almost like a cartoonish? Do I do like, you know, how, just the style, like how did you know what you want to do?
Yeah. So I had written maybe after I did the outline, I probably wrote like 10 different versions of
really?
The book. I had it being where it would follow this little animal and a little story about how, you know, it would do this and this action tip. But then I couldn't decide what animal I wanted and what to name it. I got stuck on like what to name the character. And then I was like, you know what, maybe I'll do a custom book where I'll be able to have, you know, the printer be able to just print their, you know, the child's name on the book. And then I was like, this is also getting way too complicated.
That's definitely complicated.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, I just kept thinking about like illustrations and I was like, how am I going to hire someone for this? And how are they going to be able to tell the story? And there's going to be so much back and forth. So I really basically just tried to simplify it as much as possible.
Yep.
And so I kind of did the opposite. So I stopped my script and then I started focusing on my illustrations.
Gotcha. And then you worked around the story on that a little bit.
Correct. Yes.
Gotcha. So walk us through the process of finding a good illustrator. So, obviously your sister said no to you. Then
right. So I also wanted to have something that wasn't too complicated. And I had this vision of also creating merchandise or like stickers or something with it.
You want to brand it, obviously. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I thought of, you know, what kind of illustrations are out there that I like. And so I was Googling children's books and what, you know, also children's book illustrators to see kind of the styles that are out there. And the only style of illustration that I actually really enjoyed and that stood out to me was like the Japanese kawaii style, which is exactly what my books are.
Yeah. So, I have the stickers right in front of me. I put in my water
bottle.
This is my 32-ounce water that I drink every day.
Why haven't you sent me a picture of this yet?
Oh, didn't I not send this picture of you? Oh, I'll send it to you. I'll send a little quick video of it.
So that was something I found where I was like, I love the kawaii style, you know, being half Japanese. And I just love little characters and they smile and they make you smile. And that's exactly what I wanted when someone saw the book. I wanted to be like, oh, how cute, they're smiling.
Yeah.
that's how I chose them. So then I started thinking, okay, what characters do I want to be portrayed in the book based on the tips that I provide? Got so it. I have 8 little characters. I have 4 of them printed on stickers. So you might see what 4 are. I have like the water.
I have the other 3.
Oh, yes. There you go.
The tree.
And there's a couple more tree. In the book, which maybe I'll make stickers for those in the future.
Yep.
So once I decided what kawaii characters I wanted to create, then I wrote the script for it. And then the script still went through many iterations of it. I, you know, read it with a couple people and they all provided feedback to where I maybe listened to them, maybe didn't.
Yep. It's okay to hear feedback. I mean, it's up to you to take it or not. So it's fine. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, everyone always had a good point. So I definitely took it what I could.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Have you read it in front of a library for full kids yet?
It is 2021 right now at the beginning. That's
true. You can do Zoom calls.
It's COVID right now, Mike. Like, you can do Zoom. Mike doesn't worry about COVID. He's like, this isn't a thing.
That's true. I forgot. I'm in Florida. I'm sorry.
Florida, they don't care. They're all open, wide open. Man.
No, but I know that they do have some readings. Some library has online virtual readings and stuff like that still, though. So.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. To be quite honest, I'm still kind of putting together my marketing strategy for it. Nice. I really don't have a broad marketing strategy. I just right now have it kind of organic word of mouth, where I'm sharing it with my family and friends on social media, and they're sharing it with their family and friends, which is exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think I've sold, I think, like 60 books now, which is really
nice. That's awesome.
I don't know all these people that are buying them, and I think it's working where my organic marketing is.
Oh, that's awesome. And obviously get on TikTok for that. Let me tell you, the people, that's a lot of mothers out there. I'm telling you, nothing wants.
Right. So, you know, I definitely envision it expanding in the future, but for now, I'm just trying to get in the groove of it as well.
Well, you're trying to build your brand with that around and, you know, try to use marketing to expand your brand. I get that. And I mean, I feel like that's a little, I mean, obviously the book will sell itself. It's, you know, it's very cute. It's super, you know, straightforward. And one of the things is that, in a brand, when it comes to branding, you already know your demographic, who you want to target, which is great. I feel like most of the time, most people don't know what they want to target, and that's the hardest part. So it's now that you know, it's just at the end of the day, so how you're going to execute the marketing piece of it, and you know, you go from there. But I feel like you have a definitely great foundation to start with, though, so for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you. And so,
but show your sweater, by the way. Show your swags.
Yes, you guys show me the swags. I also have swag, guys. I have a sweatshirt. This is my embroidered Earth.
There
and
we go.
Find this on my Etsy shop. So I have an Instagram page at How I Save the Earth.
Yeah, it's gonna be above us right here. So
right up there.
Yep.
And then I also have an Etsy, which is also How I Save the Earth is the Etsy shop name. And so you can find this there. You can find my stickers on there. And then with every sticker purchase, you'll also get a free gift, which I have in front of me, which is a postcard. And on the back, it includes a little message like How I Save the Earth, 1, 2, 3. And you can write down 3 things that you do to save the earth and send it to a family member or a friend. You know, it's a nice little hello, especially during these COVID times.
Yeah.
Also, you're continuing to spread the message on How I Save the Earth and, you know, provide environmental tips to other people. So this comes with your sticker orders. And then I also have hats.
Wait, you got hats? Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a hat. There's a couple other things on there. There's a canvas tote. There's a kid's sweatshirt, kid's shirt. There's t-shirts. And
do you have a koozie?
I don't. I'll think about it. That's but also, too. You know, I really struggled with this because merchandise is just more stuff. And it I is. Don't.
Yeah, I feel like it's counterintuitive in a sense, right? Because you're going, you're going against your mind. Like,
right. And so I was, you know, I was thinking, like, does it make any sense to do this? But I thought about it more and I really believe that because these items are continuing to spread environmental awareness, and that's the mission and goal of them. And it's also going to help spread the message of the book and lead people to the book. It really comes down to educating and empowering people. And I hope that people, when they see my little earth on items, that they can relate to that.
I actually struggled the same way when I was picking packaging for my side business. I was like, I need something that's actually, you know, recyclable, because you can pick plastic stuff easily and it's cheap to do that. And I end up going to like a typical type of recycled box where you can make it white and then you can make it glossy. And It was definitely better for the environment. Like at the end of the day, they're going to throw it away, right? I might as well just make it, you know, something that's, and it was a struggle to find a good packaging company that did that. So it's just making those kind of decisions, especially like, you know, when you're going forward, right? When you make, when you start making maybe different swag, things like that, but you're going to think twice, like, hey, I want to make sure that this aligns with my theme, with my brand. And I think that's definitely something that's, it's going to keep happening no matter what, though, I feel like.
Right. So I think right now I'm just starting off. I think hopefully in the future I'll be able to find the right vendors for things.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the next time I'm on your show in 7 months, my empire will...
There you go.
Expanded, yeah.
And we can talk about, you know, how my merchandise is doing better things for the earth. And right now it's just really focused on the message. So
yeah.
That's
but let me ask you this. So where people can find this book right now?
The program for
your book.
Oh, for my book?
Yes.
Oh, yes. So I highly recommend self-publishing. So self-publishing is where you don't need to go through a publisher and you can go through a company where they have a list of distributors, and all you have to do is create your profile, purchase your ISBNs through the U.S. Library of Congress, right?
Yep.
Yes. And then, attach that to your book, and then you upload your book, and then from there, you just let it go.
And let it fly. Just let it fly.
Wait. So, so when?
And I just pressed, publish, and a couple days later, it was on Amazon. Like, how cool! Nice. Is that?
So, okay, before we even get to that, right? So, let's talk about the illustration. Walk us through the process.
Of a couple steps.
Yeah. So, walk us through the process of how you illustrated the book and the picking. Hey, this is the right person to get illustrated the book to for me. Did you ask for samples?
So I have zero drawing skills.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'm here. Here, cheers to that.
I, really struggled with how I was going to even communicate what I wanted. And so what I did was I actually put together a Pinterest page or a Pinterest board of ideas
of
my characters that I liked, and also illustrations of things like little earths or trees. And then, different types of kawaii faces that you can add on top of it, just so they kind of can get a vision of what I had in mind. So then I decided to go to Fiverr.com. Mm-hmm. And I was able to just Google kawaii illustrations. And there's so many talented artists on there that pop up. And all you have to do is just look through all theirs. And they have samples of the work that they've done for other clients in the past. You can read through their reviews. So I probably looked at maybe a dozen different artists, and I messaged an artist, and I just told them, my concept and my ideas, and asked if this is something they could do. And they said, yep, totally. And a couple days later, I got my first iteration back, and then I asked for a couple edits, and then I loved them.
So did you end up getting just individual characters, or did you end up telling them, hey, this is the page one, page two, like each of them?
So I just got the individual characters, and then I'll go into the next step of how I put the spread together. So going, when you're self-publishing, they ask for it to be in a certain format, and typically you have to do that formatting in Adobe Illustrator, and I don't have Adobe Illustrator. And so I was like, oh, God, there must be someone that I can hire to do this for me.
A graphic designer? That's
exactly what I did. I went on Fiverr and I just typed in children's book,
graphic designer, yeah.
Or no.
Illustrator, probably.
Book editor kind of thing.
Yeah.
Forgot. And there's so many people that do this. And they just package your book for you. So I sent them a Google file. I had my pages in a slide, and I put some colors on the pages, and I put my character on one side and then my text on the other, and same thing, message you know, the person. I said, hey, this is my concept. Here's a link to my page. Is this something you can put together? And then also I said, I don't really know like the characters or the font to use. So if you have any recommendations for those, I would greatly appreciate that. And because, you know, they do this all day long. So they're
of course, the experience. So yeah.
Right. And so a couple days later, I got my first version back and it was just beautiful. I loved it. I love the colors that they chose. I love the font that they chose. And it was just, it was perfect. And then I just added a couple more things. He gave me some tips on things I needed to work on prior to uploading it into Ingram Spark. And that was it. And
make it sound so easy to write a book, by the way.
No.
You know, looking back on it, it was easy. And if anyone ever wants to do it, I highly encourage you to. The thing that took the longest was just learning about this process. And I guess I could have watched some YouTube videos to learn more, but I just kind of dove right into it myself. Yeah. And so it was a lot of reading and a lot of just looking at things. At first I was like, I'm going to go like the publishing route. And I wrote like the letter that you have to write to like
publishers,
a million publishers. And I like spent a whole night writing this letter. And then the next day I was like, why did I do this? Like, I should just self-publish.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a lot of like just going through the motions, and that's what took the most time.
So let me ask you this though. Like, you know, once you had the final draft, right? How many people read it before you say, okay, this is good enough, I'm going to publish this?
Yeah. So I was really nervous to have people read it. So I think I had just a couple of family members read it, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And I was concerned that if I had more people read it, then there would just be too many edits to where I would feel discouraged. And I felt good with where it was. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. This will just be my first one. If I don't like it, I can always make a second one. And,
or you can always update.
Yeah, or update it. Or, you know, I just figured my goal is to get this out there. I'm going to go for it. I think it's in a good place. And so I went for it. And
like,
I think that's
gonna be
that
like gonna be like Hillary's textbook, like version version two, version three, version four.
Well, remember my original vision was to have, you know,
she might have a series.
One on each topic. And so eventually that is the goal, to have, you know, one on transportation, one on water, one on weight.
She's gonna solid by the time she comes back on, she'll probably have another second book ready.
She'll have all 10 out.
Maybe. Now I'm gonna make that a goal. Like, I'll have one done every month or something.
I mean, for the way you describe the process, it sounds like you had a decent experience, that you learned a lot, obviously. And I don't know, for me, I still struggle right now just getting my outline correctly. But also that's part of it because I don't know what I really want to, like, I'm not 100% sure what I want to write is the right thing. Like, how do you know that's the right thing? Obviously you want to do something with the environment, but like, once you pick the illustration, you decided to change the story around, looks like it. And you went back, did you go back and forth? Like, no, I don't like the storyline.
Yep.
Like, what was the struggle? Like, you know, like.
I think the struggle was, so the hardest part of environmental awareness, you know, you can tell people all day long to recycle, but if you don't tell them the importance of recycling, it's pointless.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And so the hardest part was summarizing the why. And I was trying to use not as many technical terms. And
it's this children's book, by the way. So, you know, I get it.
It's a kid's book.
Use terms that I think can be relatable. And I remember I read it to my brother and he was like, Hillary, you need to add the why. Like, kids always ask why.
They do always ask why. That's for sure.
And so you need to be ready to answer that. And so just put it in the book. And so I had, you know, I basically like wrote this like long explanation of the why, and I just shortened it and shortened it and shortened it until I got it to be about a sentence or two to where I can edit.
I feel like when you write a kid's book, you have to be so efficient with your wordings. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to nitpick the hell out of it. What does that mean, mommy?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, why is that? Like, I feel like that delivery message is just much, I feel like that's much harder than it seems to be, you know, so.
Right. So, you know, those are definitely things that I thought of. And, you know, I don't know if I got it perfect, but I got it to where, you know, I think it's the best it could be. And hopefully one day I can write another version, but I'm just happy that it's already out there. And I'm already getting feedback from people that I have my coworker. I gave a copy of the book for his 2-year-old daughter.
Nice.
And he told me that, he told me the next day, he said, oh my God, she made me read it to her three times last night. And then he said, you know, she's at the perfect age right now where she thinks it's funny when she plugs up the sink when we're brushing the teeth, because yeah. I always tell her no. And she's like, aha, I'm going to plug it up. And so now whenever she does this, I say, you know, he tells her, do you want to save water? Do you want to save the earth?
Yeah.
And he reminds her of the book and she stops. And I was like,
that's amazing.
No, they actually,
that is amazing.
They see it's okay. It's a real thing, right?
And yeah,
it's a lesson, to be honest with you.
No, and then he came into my office the other day, or actually this was yesterday, and he said that his wife is really bad at turning off the lights when she leaves the room. And so now the daughter will be like, oh, Mom, you have to turn off the lights.
The kids is calling out their parents now.
I know, that's awesome.
And I mean, kids are sponges. They learn fast.
Yeah. So, you know, this
you're making an impact already. That's yeah. By the way, congratulations though. But I feel like that's more rewarding. Obviously, you know, but once you get more feedback that you're making a positive impact already, you can tell that you are obviously, you know, I'm sure that reward, that inner feeling must be amazing. So
it is, yeah. And you know, when I hear feedback and I have my Instagram page, How I Save the Earth, I'm asking people to send me pictures and tag the book and tell me your feedback. I just get so excited because this is exactly why I wrote it. I wrote it with this mission to really educate.
You know what you should do? You know what you should do? You should ask your coworker to film the daughter saying stuff to the mom. put that on Instagram. It's hilarious. Put that on TikTok. Let me tell you. I mean, that would go viral for sure.
I can ask. Or, you know, do you have any nieces or nephews you can ask to do that?
I actually don't. Let me see. I'm just trying to think anyone's under 10 in my family tree, like close by.
I think you should just, you know, also yeah. I have in my, I think it might be my bio for the book, is that this is also a great gift for your friends, your adult friends, who could use a little nudge, you know, if you think that they're, you know, really bad and they always leave the water running and leave the lights on. You should just
leave that to my roommate
as a gift for their coffee table, like a housewarming gift.
Yeah.
You know, it could be like just there.
Oh no, I'm getting this for all my friends who have kids already. They're all 1 year old right now. So for the next, when they turn one or turn two, I'm just gonna get that. That's what I'm gonna do.
That's your default gift?
It's the default gift right there. That's it. Default gift.
All
right.
That's exactly what I was my market is really I want people to gift this book. It's not necessarily something you might want to get it for yourself, and I think that's great, but I think it's also a great
by the way, Mike got delayed, just so you know.
Oh,
yours got delayed. Oh yeah. Man, so Mike, so what's gonna happen is when Matt, like Max, Sean's kid, turns like his next birthday or Christmas, like all of us are gonna send him the same gift, like the same book.
Well, then I only hope that they can re-gift it to other people.
There you go.
You're like 12 books.
I gave Max already four or five books already. No, three to four books already. So,
does he like them?
I'm not sure. I need to ask Sean about that. It's like it's like
must think, not be a memorable book.
One of them is Quantum Physics for Babies. The other one is I think Astrology for Babies.
Like see, like Mike's getting all these intellectual stuff. I get Max like basketball hoops and stuff. Like you gotta get to the NBA. Like that's where we're headed. And Mike's over here like, oh, you can be smart. All right. Like,
listen, if Sean or Portia's reading it, then I'm sure they're learning something out of it. So.
Yes, I'm sure. See, it's not for Max. It's for the parents.
It's for the parents for sure.
I see it.
Yeah. Actually, I think I'm a guy in the blockchain one. Blockchain for babies. That's what it was.
Yeah. See, why don't you just write a children's book, Mike?
I don't think I'm good with kids, and I don't think I'm really. I don't even know what to write about if I write for children, to be honest with you. So.
Well, remember, you're writing it for the parents.
That's true.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I don't know what I would even write about. Like, I don't Basketball. Even know what topic I would want to like. Have as like a topic. I don't know, basketball, like I don't what would I say about basketball?
Yeah.
what would I say that's like not already said? Like I don't
yeah.
It's your story, that's what it's you know, and I felt that too. I was like, there's so many books already out there about the earth, like, you know, how is mine going to be any different?
Yeah, I was going to ask you this. So did you compare to your competitors that was already out there already? How do you like analyze it? I'm like, hey,
I mean, a little, there's not that many books out there. And
oh, snap. Hillary's going to dominate the market now. She's going to write.
And they, a lot of them kind of follow a storyline. And okay, that's something that I wasn't really following. It's more just education and why and how.
Which is, I feel like it's a different approach, which is fine, because as long as the kid understands that and the message still sticks, and that's all that matters, to be honest with you. It doesn't necessarily be a storyline. I'm sure, Robert, you probably read it already, so you probably know more than me.
Yeah,
exactly how the book, like,
and I can tell you're looking.
I read the first page, and I'll get a gist of like.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go. Story so that way time. People, so that way can the listeners can understand that point of view. I get that.
Correct. Yeah. So you'll understand the title once I read into it more.
There you go.
So How I Saved the Earth by Hillary Igo. We have a cute little light bulb here. Mm-hmm. So topic is save energy. I turn off the lights when leaving the room. Energy is often created from air polluting sources such as burning coal or gas. When I save energy, I reduce the demand of air polluting energy creation and help keep the air clean.
There you go. So easy. So now we know why we need to turn off the lights.
Yep. The message gets across.
Yeah.
Right away.
Very efficient.
Yeah. And one of the things is that it's just pretty straightforward, like to the point.
And there's like cute images that the kids will love it. Yeah. I think adults love it too. Like these guys are like so cute for sure.
Where are you gonna put those ones, Robert?
I have no idea yet. I put the water one on my laptop already. Uh-huh. My other laptop somewhere in the room. I don't know where I'm gonna put these. Probably on one of my bottles and stuff. We're gonna get one of these. Yeah.
So Hillary, that paragraph, right? That first page, right? How many hours you spend just doing that iteration? Just wondering, just to get that message.
Like writing it?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Maybe a couple.
I figured that much.
Yeah, but you know what was actually the hardest part of writing was writing like the book description, writing your bio, writing.
Really? Why is that?
That was really hard. Writing about yourself is not easy. And writing about, you know, you have this idea also of your mission in your head and why you want to write this book and the description of it, but
putting
writing
it all down is harder.
Yeah. So that took a lot of time actually.
So like, why made you pick that title? Why that title?
I went through a number of different titles and
give us some iterations on this that you could have gone.
Yeah, so I originally wanted to have, you know, a cute little character and the storyline would like follow the character, and I was trying to have it be an animal and I was gonna name it a character, but then I was like, it has to be an alliteration in the name. So I was trying to Google S names because like saves.
Yeah.
And then I only wanted it to be two syllables. So for a while I was like, Sammy, save.
Really? Two syllable?
Yeah. I felt like two syllables was easier. If the name was going to be repeated throughout the story over and over again. Gotcha. So it was like, I can save the earth, or I can help save the world, or Sammy saves the earth. And then I decided I ended up liking the how, like how do I do it? And so it's how I save the earth. And then the actions are in there and it's saying like, I do this, I do that, et cetera.
No, and the reason why I was asking, because I feel like the title is the hardest part, because that's the hook, I feel like. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's like the first thing that people see, and that's just a hook, and the key term searches people look for, to be honest, sometimes it matters though. It really does.
Yeah. And so, you know, save the earth is a really broad term. And so is how I save the earth. That's a broad term. And so I can only hope that my SEO will get better. And
I feel like because you're targeting a certain demographic, I feel like that will just hit it will automatically just narrow that down already. Especially that, you know, if you're on Amazon Barnes & Noble, the SEOs there, they purposely just rank your page up a little bit higher already. So
yes. And then also another tip, I also did not link many things directly on any of my pages to Amazon and Barnes and Nobles because I want people to Google it.
And what do you mean? Also, that way people can search for it.
Yeah.
So let's say that if I search, you know, how I save the earth.
You may or may not find it, but you might have to add my name to it.
Yeah, I figured it's Hillary's first name. And you are number.
I remember doing this when I saw it on Instagram. I was like, oh, why didn't she link the book?
To search it. I need people searching it.
It's harder because first of all,
but what, they find it.
No. So I'm not using Google as a search engine right now. I'm actually using.
What are you using?
DuckDuckGo. Yeah.
What?
Duck, why? Duck, why would What's you even that? Do that?
Because it's a different ranking thing. I'm just curious to see it. So,
it doesn't let me look it up. How I Save the Earth.
Okay, so
I searched How I Save the Earth in Amazon.
Amazon, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I searched for.
So yeah, if you did Amazon, it's straight up forward. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
No, if I search How I Save the Earth and Hillary, it also comes up. The first two are your book.
Soon it'll be your podcast also showing up there too.
There we go.
Oh, that's true. Because your last episode, it was called Save the Earth.
Right.
That is true. Now it's How I Save the Earth now.
Yeah.
This episode.
But what's cool is I put in Save the Earth or How I Save the Earth, and images, you're the top three images.
Oh.
That's awesome though.
See, it's working. All these searches are helping.
Yeah. And then our podcast is number four on the images.
That is hilarious. No, and I feel like, the more I feel like the more videos that you do out there, hashtags, things like that, it will definitely add up to it too. And are you planning to do a website for this? Just wondering, Hillary. What is your game plan?
Ultimately, that is a goal. But for now, having a full-time job and this just kind of being a passion project on the side,
yep.
I feel like I have it at a manageable level. And I think one day I'll broaden it.
There we go. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are going to take a little break right now. We are going to do an extra MHC session, funny session right now. So who wants to start?
I'll start. Send you what I have. It's this video of this guy. This just came up on my newsfeed. This came up on my newsfeed today. It's this guy who is a lawyer, and he's like on a call with the judge.
Is a cat? Is that a cat? What is that?
But he somehow on Zoom, he like clicked on a like cat filter, and he doesn't know how to turn it off. So
he's talking as a cat.
So he's the cat in this.
Turned on in the video setting.
Yeah, is that?
You might want. You can't take it seriously. I'm here live. I'm not a cat. The title is.
Here, but I'm not a cat.
I have my assistant here. She's trying. Yeah. So he's talking like he's a cat, but
it's so
he doesn't know how to
though.
Turn it off.
How long did it go on for?
Well, this clip is like 30 seconds long.
Oh, okay.
That is hilarious, by the way.
But yeah, nice. It's just I saw it. I was like, oh my god, like this is what happens when you have Zoom calls and people who don't know how to use it.
Oh my god, that's
something came up. Like, oh, we clicked this on accident, and now. That's it. Now he's like, I'm here. I swear I'm here. I'm not a cat. I'm here live.
All right. So, Hillary, yours?
Okay. I don't think I told this one on my last episode. But anyway, so another fun fact about me was I was also part of the Northern California Cherry Blossom Festival Queen Program. Where I had the opportunity to learn a little bit more about my Japanese heritage and also give back to the local community. And so the tradition of the program is to select a queen. So it is kind of like a pageant, but it's more of a professional development now, program now as it has evolved. And so during one of our rehearsals, we were actually in on stage where we were going to be performing, and there's a Q&A session. And so we had to answer practice Q&A. And so the question was, you know, you had to do your introduction, your name, and then also answer the question, what's your favorite color and why? And so when it was my turn, I said with a very straight face, I don't think I can do it with a straight face now, but I said, my favorite color is blue. And the reason why is because it reminds me of our oceans and our earth, and our oceans make up 97% of the world's water. And like everyone, you know, everyone else started laughing because they had like cute answers. About,
you just like, give facts. You just give a straight fact.
You're like, I'm
out. My drop.
I like red because of roses, or and mine was like about our water supply.
Hey, you got people attention though. You say that, to be honest with you. Whatever, who cares?
It all comes back to the environment for Hillary. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. I think you should do that. You do that pageant again, please. Please just.
No, it was a one-time thing. So.
Yeah, do it twice. What are you doing talking about, Mike?
Robert was there. He watched me.
I was
me.
There. Yeah.
Nice. All right. So here's mine. I kept the PG, I guess, this one. So it was one of my feet. I think yesterday, today, I forgot what it was. But so there's an image. It's titled, damn, they're serious about the work. And so it's an image of a fire in the background and in the highway. And then there's a road sign that says Museum of Fire, use next exit.
Is that a fire? It's smoke. It's like a lot of smoke. So
it's a lot of smoke, but it looks like
probably a fire there.
Yeah. Wait, did you say that? Am I supposed to be looking at it?
Yeah, yeah, on our podcast chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me look.
Yes. Next exit, Museum of Fire. I mean, it looks like
I was trying to envision it as you're describing it, and I didn't start laughing because I didn't know what you were talking about. So let me pull it up real quick, and then maybe I will be able to see it.
Yeah, take a look at it. It's pretty funny.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah. So it's just like a highway picture, and then one of the signs is Museum of Fire, next exit.
It's just funny. Imagine you driving.
Oh.
Like you're driving down. Do I want to check out the Museum of Fire?
Yeah. Like that. This might be dangerous.
I see it now.
And kids will be like, hell yeah, mom. We can save the earth now.
You know? I'll go into fire another time.
No, I mean, it's just funny that when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is a perfect one for this, you know, so.
I should have forced you guys to have like funny environmental stories next time.
Oh, I got plenty of funny ones of those, especially when I came to visit you guys. So,
oh, is it gonna be I put this in the trash and Hillary started yelling at me?
No. Actually, okay, so I'm not sure which mall was this, and this mall had like 7 different trash bins, and one of the ladies, I was about to put something in this bin, in the one of the wrong bins, okay? And this lady started yelling at me. And I'm like, I thought literally this was not compost. This was, you know, this goes into that, it's not plastic. What's the second thing?
Recycling.
Well, it's paper, right? But because I guess there's food in it, you know, you're supposed to go to compost, but yeah. I didn't put it in compost. I was going to put it in paper, I guess.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So she started yelling at me out of nowhere. I'm like, where the hell did she come from?
Wait, and where was this at? Is that a mall?
It was at the mall. Actually, when I came to visit you 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Yeah.
It wasn't me?
No, it wasn't you. It was this, it was like literally the mall cop lady. Like literally, like maybe, I don't know, she was there for just to make sure everybody was just recycling properly. But she started just screaming at me out of nowhere. I'm like, all right, I'm sorry. You know, there should be better signs for this, you know? And so say, no, this, she goes to go on compost. You have touched food in it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, fine. But you would think that because, you know, the straw was paper, what was it, the paper plate was paper, Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know.
But once it's contaminated, how are you going to recycle that?
Yeah.
Can you just burn it? Or how does it? No, okay.
Incineration is bad.
That's true. We need to talk about fire soon.
Mike, I can't believe you did this.
But anyway.
This is why you got yelled at.
Don't think of her as being yelled at. Think of her as your guardian angel.
It just scared me because she came out of nowhere. Like, literally, she came out of nowhere, though. Like, I was like, man, she probably does this for everybody. I was like, you know, and so I stepped back and I saw her and actually the other people too. So I wasn't the only one. So she was just there to make sure everyone recycled properly. So,
well, did you learn something?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, you know, just compost anything that touches food. That's it.
You also learned not to use that exact trash can.
Yeah.
There you go. Go somewhere else so you don't get yelled at.
No, but it's funny though. But I mean, at least I wasn't the only one making the same mistake. Literally, like I saw like 3-4 people literally making a similar mistake. Mm-hmm. Just like me.
Yeah.
So, I think
just shows that, you know, we need to increase our education and outreach efforts.
Oh, 100% agree.
More people should read How I Saved the Earth. And...
There we go. Yeah, I agree. Let me ask. So pivoting to, you know, a little bit of off topic, you know, talking about saving the earth, right? You know, we've gone through the pandemic, right? And I feel like this is something maybe, you know, we could touch base on. But obviously, you know, we had to create a lot of masks and stuff like that for people to use, things like that. And to me, like, I don't know, I see heartbreaking when people throw masks in the parking lot, things like that, and gloves and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I can't help it. I pick it up and just put it in trash and stuff, but still, like, still in the street, you know? And so, like, how do you tell people how to handle those things? Yeah, any advice for that? Yeah. It's tough. I mean, listen.
Yeah.
It's the same as like people who are throwing their like cigarette butts on the ground and gum on the ground. And like, it's like people like just littering for no reason.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so we are in a pandemic, you know, and yes, it is a mask, but as Robert said, it's no different than any other litter that unfortunately gets thrown onto the ground. So I would say, don't be afraid to stand up and say something. I sure do. And
so what do you tell people to do with the mask? Do you tell them to compost that?
I just say, excuse me, you dropped something. And they usually look at it. And if they play dumb, I say, can you please pick it up and throw it away? Because masks are trash, actually.
They're trash? Yeah. That's crazy. And how about like cloth mask?
Cloth, there are textile recycling that does take place. But unless you are able to connect with a textile recycler, then they're going to be
trash as well. Yeah.
I thought cloth masks are reusable.
They do last longer because you could wash them.
Yeah. For sure. And how about those plastic gloves? Because I've seen that a lot, like at gas stations and stuff. Those are trash.
It's really hard. It is tough. Yeah. And you know, global health is important too. And
yeah, of course. It's about there has to be some kind of, at least, I mean, I feel like you would think that they would put more education on how to handle stuff, those kind of stuff though as well. Obviously you buy masks, right? Hey, make sure you dispose it correctly, right? I feel like they haven't emphasized that at all. At least personally, I haven't seen. So
I've seen some, but I agree. I think there could be more that's done.
Yeah.
Where do you want to see that done? Like, where do you want to see that education? When they buy it, or when they
buy it, even the box on, you know, I mean, even on the box or on the TV, like it's a constant reminder, right? You know how you just make sure, you know.
But what if it gets to the point, just like how you're super annoyed with COVID vaccine commercials and people are talking about it?
Wait, have you seen vaccine commercial?
I've seen one or two, but like you've been saying how like you're so upset with all of these like vaccine people talking about the vaccine and all this stuff and pushing it, where like you're seeing it all the time. What if like if you saw this all the time, it'd be super annoying as well. Like what?
But I feel like the reward of that though, like it's still like it would educate people more, right?
Would you want it to be like the cigarette commercials where it's like super annoying but it's in your head?
Yeah, it's in your head. It makes you second guess it. That's what it just comes down to. Like one from littering.
You should write a book about it.
Yeah, Robert, you should write a book about it.
Me? Where did this come from? You're the one with the idea.
What you see in the world.
Yeah. No, like you know what I'm saying though. Like I'd rather make people think second guess what their action is than just them just do it without being aware. Okay, this has a consequence, right? at least they know that this is going to trash than going to the ground polluting.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's also a lot, like it costs money to do all of that advertising and the outreach and stuff.
Yeah.
So they have to put that in as like as a plan, as part of their plan of how they're going to react to this, right? So maybe like when we have our like stimulus bill, they should have that as included in part.
You should have done that from the very beginning, though. Yeah. Regardless. You know, instead of adding a lot of those extra crap.
No, but like honestly, doing it from the beginning, where would they get the funding or where would they start? Right. Like
they got funding for a lot of stuff in the
guys, we're going off topic. We're trying to talk about saving the earth.
I know, right? We are going off topic a little bit though, yeah. But no, but I'm saying like at the end of the day, I feel like with that kind of messaging, it should make an impact regardless, at least away from polluting more, you know? And yes, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I feel like, but that's more reason why we should be more considerate.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely things to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That's for sure though, yeah. So Hillary, go ahead. So going back to your book for a second, I was thinking about this during the extra MSC session. So when you wrote, you know, each of those pages, right? Like, did you worry about how long the book could be or how short the book could be? I'm just curious.
No, because I only had my, you know, certain number of characters, and my plan was to have one character per spread. And then in terms of the text, I also just was editing the text on like the PowerPoint that I had, like my spread on. So I knew
was each slide like a page.
So each slide I had like the left side and the right side.
Mm. Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's like two pages. That's what you're saying.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for Ingram Spark, you need to have a minimum number of pages too. So that's also something to consider.
What is it? Like 10 pages? 20 pages?
18.
18 pages?
Yeah.
Minimum 18 pages.
So it is like a bio, a blank page, so I can sign it.
Oh, okay. so that adds up very quickly then. It's 18 pages.
Yes. But it you know, it adds up quickly.
So. Yeah, it adds up very quickly for sure. Yeah. Because especially if it's both sides, so that's 1 and 2 already. And then all you need is 9 more, like each of the same thing. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying though.
Yeah. So you can also model it knowing that you have to meet that minimum as well.
Gotcha. No, because I feel like, you know, let's say that, you know, if it's too short, sometimes you feel like, oh, I got to write more now, right? And then mm-hmm. you got to just dig a little bit more. And then at that point, would that story or that book become less, you know, intricate, I guess you could say, right? And or if you write too short, like, okay, does this book provide the value that I'm trying to provide or not? I would have second guess like that, to be honest.
But you just got to go for it. I think that's what I had a hard time getting over. That hump that you're talking about is, you know, like, oh, what about this? What about that? Someone's going to say something about this. You know.
So what made you click publish then? What made you decide to click, okay, I'm going to publish this now?
Like, I really just wanted to get it done by the end of 2020. And I did.
That's true. So, it was like released, like it says like December 27th.
Yep.
Oh, so you did it. So how many days did it take to release? Just wondering.
To be like online. Yeah. I think it took about 2 or 3 days until I
found. Really? That fast?
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 days. So that means you released it on Christmas Day? Christmas Eve?
No, I pressed publish on the 27th.
Oh, so wait, but Robert, you said that it was on Amazon on the 27th?
Well, no, it says December 27th, 2020 as like the date published.
Oh, okay. Got it. So it counts from that timestamp. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So that was like another driver was like, I really want to get this done and like say that I accomplished this in 2020.
Hey, you have 4 extra days. You were on time. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're way early.
Yeah. Way early. I would procrastinate
it. 4 or 5 days to go online. Yeah. I think I remember looking on Christmas Eve and I didn't see it. So
I would have waited until December 31st to click that publish button.
December 31st.
11:59.
Right.
So
yeah, maybe if you're stuck, set a goal for yourself for a date and a time you also want to push to get it out there because. Yeah. Mine was by the end of 2020. And
did you have like a little mini goals along the way? Like for example, hey, I'm going to get 2 pages done today, 2 pages done tomorrow.
No, because I was working on this basically in my evenings after I was done with work. Yep. And You know, it was kind of just whenever I had time, I would open it up and work on a little bit here and there. I even would go like weeks without working on it. I think by the time I started working on it around October. And so it took me from October until December to finish it.
That's not too long at all, though, to like write a book. I feel like, and also like, yeah, I think just doing, it's like pushing forward and doing it, I think is the biggest hump for a lot of stuff. For example, like this podcast, like we've been talking about doing a podcast for years, and then
for years, come on,
it was at least a year and a half that we were talking about.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then, 2 years. Yeah, so like we're just talking about, oh, we should do a podcast. Yeah, it'd be fun to do a podcast. Yeah,
I remember we talked about it when I went to visit you for the first time, and we're watching PKA, like, you know.
Yeah, when was that?
That was years ago.
That was years.
What was that? 2016? 17?
Yeah, it's 2021 now. That's 4 years.
Wait, hasn't been that long?
That's at least 4 years. Yeah, so we were talking about it for years, and then like really just like going and doing it. Like we'll decide, okay, let's just do it. It doesn't matter if we know or don't know how to do it. Yeah. Like once you put your mind figure to it to do it, you'll figure it
exactly.
out.
Exactly. See, guys, we both accomplished something in 2020.
Yeah.
That's true. I did my goal for 2020. I was like figured out how to get better communication. I feel like, you know, the reason why I was asking how you wrote the book and how you think about, you know, how many times iteration you went with it, because I feel like storytelling is the art, right? And being an efficient storyteller, it goes a long, long way. And especially children, like, let me tell you, they will absorb everything you think of, and you got to make sure you're like delivered that on point. Very simple, very, you know, without them questioning it you twice, because if they question stuff, you know, I feel like sometimes it's just, you know, like you're gonna start questioning yourself sometimes, you know, like, oh my God.
But Mike, on the book, you're not there to answer the question, right? So,
but you're the parent though.
That's on the parents to answer the question. So it really doesn't affect you at all.
Right. But then you gotta get feedback from your parents, you know.
Yeah, the parents will come back, and then you'll be like, "All right, this is what I meant," and then you could tell this to your kids. That's it.
So yeah. are you gonna? So obviously, as part of your marketing plan, Hillary, have you thought about having like a little live read with parents and stuff like that? Just wondering, like on Zoom and stuff.
I think that's a great idea. I would like to do that in the future. Yeah. I've not scheduled it, but if you have any tips on how to do that,
Do a book tour and everything, you know, so virtually.
A virtual book tour.
Virtual book tour. Yeah.
This is your first. This is your first stop. Podcast.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. You do a virtual book tour. I'm sure. Think about this, right? Like, in the local library, perhaps they may want to support that. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sure, you know, like, especially working for local government, I'm sure, you know, people out there, they probably know people, and so, eventually, you know, when we get back to out there meeting people in front of the office type of deal, maybe easier, but virtually, you know, you can do what you can do right now. But virtual book tour for sure.
I love it. Yeah.
You could talk to like your, I don't know if you have any friends who are like teachers and stuff. They might be able to be like, oh yeah, this is a good book to.
Hey Robert, Michelle's a great teacher.
That's true, Michelle. Michelle was on our podcast. She's a third grade teacher. Third grade.
Yeah.
So she gets.
She needs a book reading in her class.
Yeah, she might need that.
No, I'll forward that to her for sure.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do one.
All right, so we're gonna wrap this episode up, and we're gonna end with our rant. Yeah, who wants to start?
Do you guys remember what I said during our last visit?
Yeah, she said our rants should also include a way to make things better, or like a call to action.
Yes, I have one, so which is good. So
go first then.
Yeah.
No. I want to go last because it's about myself. So go ahead, Robert. You want to go first?
Mine's also about myself. I am tired of COVID. Finally. I think I'm officially like done with being inside, right? So like you get to this point in your life when you're inside for too long, and then you're like tired all the time. And I think I got there this weekend where I just sat down and like I just did not want to get up because I'm just tired of it. Like and you just don't feel exhausted just being awake, right? So then I'm pushing myself to leave the house, because I think getting some fresh air, moving around, it helps that whole like mentality. Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I've been working on, is leaving the house more, because I just haven't been doing that at all during this time.
Getting some vitamin D and K in it, you know, a little bit. So
I went outside when it was dark. But yeah, something like that. Like just getting outside is good, and moving around.
Good. So you have a goal to get outside like every day?
Yeah.
No, it's gonna be like
every hour?
No. it's gonna start with once a week, because I haven't even done that. But like, yeah, it'll probably be a couple times a week, and then maybe I'll go once a day. I don't know. Like, it's so hard to get out once a day.
Listen, I do it. I have a goal.
If you need to order food, you just go pick it up.
There you go. And walk there.
No, yeah. That's not gonna work. because like it'll take like 20 minutes, 30 minutes to get there.
So
to like go there and back, and I'm like, no, I'm like I'd rather be working.
You work your appetite up by the time you get there, you're hungry, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're trying to help you, Robert.
Something to think about, that's all I'm saying, you know. I mean, I have a goal just to work out minimum 15-20 minutes a day for the rest of the year, every single day. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on day 40, so 40 days straight so far. So.
We're already 40 days into the new year?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Hillary.
Wow. Yeah.
2021 is flying.
I'm counting this. Like, I'm like, I cannot wait to get the first quarter out of the way, because I'm like exhausted already.
You're tired of working out once a day?
Yeah, well, it just adds up, right? It adds up. So at least minimum 15-20 minutes. And I, you know, I set some standards. So I had, you know what, my average heart rate has to be 125 above ish or so, and things like that. So like at least 15-20 minutes, you know. So
last year you were doing push-ups for every day or something, right? Like,
that was the year before, yeah.
Yeah. So like, this isn't anything.
It's harder, I feel like.
You think this is harder?
Because it compounds. Like, but my heart, when I was doing push-up, my heart was not going up 125 average. You know, I was doing like 20, 30, you know, 40, and then take a break, 30, 40, take a break, type of deal. You know, I did it between lunchtime or did it during meeting time, you know,
things like that.
Flying, you know, and playing, things like that, you know, airport. So
I see. Yeah. I guess, I guess it's more work to do to have a heart rate.
Yeah. So Haley, what's yours?
Let's see. I think, now that I live really close to the beach, my rant will be plastic beach toys and people leaving like their trash on the beach.
Oh, you see that a lot?
Like, it's so strange, where I'm like, why would you do this? But I see it all the time.
But do they forget about it? They just lost it? Or is it just because they leave it there?
Or the they toys leave it. They leave it there. They leave their trash there.
Are these tourists, you think?
They're probably tourists, yeah, right. but still, like, I don't understand. I feel like there's a lot of education, but it just makes me realize maybe we need more education on the impact.
Or they don't care.
But see, I want to change that.
She's saying education will help people care.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha. Okay, I'm just saying, like, do you think like they just do a purpose, they don't care, or someone pick it up, you know, type of deal like that?
They might, yeah. I don't really know what's going on in their head, but.
Have you seen it live in action? Like, hey, someone just walked away from it?
I don't think so, no. Okay. I usually just see it. Or I might have been sitting there and I noticed people are gone, and I might notice later that they left trash there and they're already gone. And instead of me leaving it there, like complaining about it, I go over there.
Pick it up. Yeah, of course. I mean,
it really bothers me how people are really inconsiderate, and I really want to help change that.
Yeah,
are you gonna start leaving signs at the entrance of the beach?
Maybe I could.
No, seriously, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I started watching this YouTuber who he's an Australian guy, and he does like these survival challenges, like where he brings nothing and just like goes and fishes for food and water and stuff. And he's in, like, I think he's Australian, but he was traveling to Thailand before COVID, and now he's like there for a while. But like, he'll go to like these little islands, and he'll go, and there's like every time the high tide comes in, there will be so much trash along, and he like sits there and like you see it like every video. He's just like, I can't believe there's this much trash, and it's just like beaches full of trash.
So it just washes up. That's so
funny. It just washes up, and it's a lot of it is like these plastic cups that like I guess in Asia they have these plastic cups where they just like poke it and like drink it, and then they just like throw it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, like almost like a bubble tea one.
Like it looks like a bubble tea cup, but it's like these are like regular waters that they have. Yeah. And then he also like explained how some of them, like the fishermen, even the fishermen, they use like plastic as like their for like bait or something. Like they tie it to like their fishing stuff, and then they just tear it off. And like
and throw it
in the water when it's done. Like that's what they do. And he was like, oh man, why do you do this? Like why do you do this? It's like, this is bad. And then but they don't even register that it's bad.
Bad for
because they just no one's ever told them, right? Like they're just
that's
like,
for sure though.
This is like what we grew up to, like this is how we grew up and fished, right? This is
the Southeast Asia for sure, man. I went over to Thailand. Let me tell you, though, what was the island I went to? I remember seeing like every morning there's trash in the beach every morning. Like, and I see trucks obviously come pick it up, things like that, clean up. But you can see it wash on though. Like, it was pretty bad when I saw it. So,
well,
yeah,
working on it, guys.
Yep. Well, mine is about myself. So I'm taking improv class right now. Ooh. And we're doing emotional reactions. So this instructor who was like, hey, listen. You think about how you're going to react emotionally, but I want you to level it times 10, like go extreme with it, you know? So I'm being Asian, most of us are not emotional at all. And we don't express, I'm speaking for myself, but I don't like express my emotions very well, or I don't express my emotion at all. So there are a couple of scenes where like, you know, I was supposed to be like pretending to be hurt or something like that. And I was just mad at myself. Like I just couldn't do it. I was like, I couldn't act it out. Like I was being hurt.
You couldn't act like you were hurt. Like you stuck your toe or whatever.
Like no, like for example, I was holding my balls, walking like you know, hurting. And then the instructor was like, "What are you doing? Like you need to act like it. You're more hurt." I'm like, "More hurt than that? I'm like, how do you have like more?" So I grabbed my balls like, this shit hurts. You know. So like, but I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. Right. And I think part of it is because maybe perhaps, you know, I don't really act on my emotion as much as I should be. And so then the next scene, I had to act like I was disappointed. Mm. I'm like, how do you act like you're disappointed, like to an extreme level? Like, so I started, oh, this shit sucks. Oh, or.
That's what you said. That's how.
Something like that. I don't know how to do it. And the instructor was like, what are you doing?
Oh man, this shit sucks. That's my times 10 of my normal.
So I was kind of frustrating myself a little bit. And then the next scene was like, act like you're super happy and perky that you just won the lotto to be deal, like, you know, or like, you know, just something happy, perky.
Like, woohoo.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, so it was just, I don't know. I struggled with that. And I feel like, part of what makes, you know, improv really good is you touching to your inner emotion. You just act on it instantly, and it makes that scene super more live and more relatable, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then that person gets a feedback energy from you and to react on it. Mm-hmm. So if I don't do that well, I feel like sometimes obviously I'm not doing it justice to my partner that's on stage with me. So I felt that like I was kind of frustrated with myself a little bit on that. So I didn't get, I got too much into myself. So, what I'm going to do is work on, it's more like, I guess part of my routine is just, you know, just not to overthink it and just go with it a little bit more, but it's easier said than to be done.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know. Like if you ask me like how to do that stuff, I don't know. I might act like bigger a little bit, but still it's like, it seems abnormal. It feels abnormal.
It feels uncomfortable.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's uncomfortable and it's hard not to try to laugh at it while you're on stage.
That's true.
You know? And so it's like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like throughout the night, the 2 hours went, that was like the most frustrating class I've been in. I was like,
oh.
Yeah.
It'll get better, Mike. You just got to practice.
It's fun. It's fun for sure. Yeah.
You will get it.
Awesome. Well, Hillary, thanks for coming on. We're happy to have you back on. What do you want to pimp? Tell us
the audience, please. Yes.
Tell everyone what you want to pimp.
Pimp?
Yeah.
What do you want to promote? What do you want to tell everyone? Oh. You never heard that before, Hillary?
You know, I don't use words like that.
Yeah.
Well, everyone should go check out my book, How I Saved the Earth.
Yeah, please Google it.
Yeah, Google it. There's no link.
My SEO.
Do you want us to not put the link either on the to the book?
Don't.
Okay.
But you can find her on her Instagram above. Okay, please. Yeah.
Yes. At How I Save the Earth.
Yep.
And order a sticker, put it on your reusable water bottle, just like this.
This right here. Yeah.
Or get a sweatshirt or a hat. Again, this is a great gift for your friends, gift for your nieces and nephews, you name it.
Yeah, it's not just for kids, for parents too as well. So
for everybody, yeah. So for everybody out there watching on YouTube, we want you to smash that like button, subscribe to listen to more podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Music or any of the podcast apps, then you can just go and leave us a comment, leave us a rating. And that'll help us out. And also, don't forget to check out our website, www.gfodots.com,
yep,
for episodes. All right. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks, Hillary. Congratulations again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll expect, second book by the time you come back. So,
by the time come back on.
I'll see you guys in 7 months.
There we go. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Appreciate it. Until next time. See ya. Yeah.
Peace.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOTThoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.